standing at the station and I'm waiting on my train to come. Well, I'm standing at the station and I'm waiting on my train to come. I can't stand around all day, you know I gotta run.
Hello, I'm Todd DeFeo, editor of railfanning.org. So I wanted to take a moment today to talk about a train disaster. It's a wreck known as the Buds Creek Railroad disaster, and it happened on July 28th, 1869. And this disaster involved the No. 2 Express train, which was traveling from Memphis, Tennessee to Louisville, Kentucky, and it was operating over a section of tracks owned by the Memphis, Clarksville, and Louisville Railroad. It was in the early morning hours of July 28th that the train was steaming across Montgomery County, Tennessee, when it approached a bridge crossing Buds Creek. As the train began to cross the bridge, it collapsed. It sent most of the train's cars into the creek below. A total of 5 people were killed and dozens more injured. What exactly happened is hazy, to say the least. This wreck garnered considerable newspaper coverage, certainly across the United States, but also internationally. Newspapers in England picked up accounts of this disaster. And it's a particularly interesting disaster. It's not the deadliest of railroad crashes that ever happened. It's not one that necessarily led to any significant legislation. The Congress didn't get involved with some grand investigation or series of hearings that would bring about new laws for railroads. But I uncovered this wreck when I was working on my book about the Memphis, Clarksville, and Louisville Railroad. This was a pretty significant moment in the history of the railroad. This was a railroad that was founded in the 1850s, struggled mightily to not only lay its tracks and begin operations, but once it began those operations, it continued to struggle. It never made a lot of money. Then the Civil War came about and caused nothing but problems for the railroad, which is a story that is repeated railroads across the country at this point in time. Finally got back to some semblance of normal in August of 1866. Operations resumed, trains were running. This railroad was part of a line that ran from Louisville, Kentucky to Memphis, Tennessee. It effectively was part of the Louisville and Nashville's Memphis branch, which was built by 3 different railroads. The Louisville and Nashville built a section of tracks from what is effectively Bowling Green, Kentucky to Guthrie, Kentucky on the Tennessee-Kentucky state line, and then from Guthrie, Kentucky to Paris, Tennessee, the Memphis, Clarksville, and Louisville Railroad built a section of track, and then from Paris, Tennessee to Memphis, Tennessee, the Memphis and Ohio built the final section of track. In the years after the Civil War, they basically ran it as one line. It really was starting to become part of the Louisville and Nashville Railroad at that point in time. That was, of the 3 railroads that built that line, that was the one that was successful. So on the morning of July 28th, 1869, this was the No. 2 Express train that departed Memphis, Tennessee, and was heading for Louisville, Kentucky. By about 1 a.m. that morning, the train was pretty much running on time. It was maybe 2 minutes behind schedule. And it was approaching Clarksville, Tennessee, in a rural section of Montgomery County, Tennessee, when it approached the crossing over Buds Creek. What happened next, and really what caused this wreck, is subject of wild debate in print, really for the next few weeks, and really culminated with a state hearing about a year later. There is considerable debate as to what exactly happened. Some passengers on the train said they knew something was out of sorts. Some indicated they heard some sort of noise. Some indicated that they heard a sort of a hissing sound as if the brakes releasing. There's even one account that the engineer let out a screech of the whistle, which was not normal for this section of tracks. What we do know is that the train, which was pulled by a Louisville and Nashville locomotive, number 17, when it started crossing the bridge collapsed. Most of the cars on the train went into the creek below. Only one car, a sleeping car, which was at the end of the train, remained on the tracks. Most accounts relayed from the scene indicate once the train went down, it was a scene of just mass confusion and chaos. Passengers, dazed and confused, presumably from what had just happened, pulled themselves together somehow. If they were able to, they would pull themselves from their seats, from the cars, wherever they were, and then tried to help their fellow passengers, tried to pull people to safety. When the train went down, it, of course, set fire to the coaches. Wooden coaches at the time seemed to go up without any real problem, and they began pulling people to safety. About 2 hours later, the Memphis-bound train, which was actually running behind schedule, approached the scene of the disaster. There was actually a doctor on board that train, and he rendered aid to passengers, the living dead, as the press called many of these severely injured survivors. They were transferred to this Memphis, what was a Memphis-bound train, and which became a Clarksville-bound train when it returned to the city there, and began a evacuation operation. There's an interesting account in the Federal Union newspaper of Milledgeville, Georgia, that talks about the train wreck. And I'm going to quote here, it says, "As described by those who were aboard the ill-fated train when it went down, the situation was awful in the extreme. According to this account, the ensuing fire made nearly a complete ruin of the train and its contents." Now, what's interesting about the Buds Creek Railroad disaster is this wreck happened in an era when railroad crashes were plentiful. You got to remember, this is an era where there was no National Transportation Safety Board. There was no go team that descended on the scene. They didn't take photographs. They didn't do witness statements. There was no accident reconstruction team that was trying to figure out what exactly happened. The railroad wanted to quickly return the tracks to service and get the trains running again. If you think about it, this was a railroad that had just pulled itself out of a pretty precarious situation, and we had just come out of the Civil War. They're finally returning to service. They're finally starting to make some semblance of money. It's open to some level of debate for anyone who's familiar with this railroad. What they need to do is get the trains up and running again. So the bridges were actually repaired pretty quickly after the wreck and return to service. I think it was about 2 days, most accounts indicate. And the cause of what happened, the cause of this disaster, really was open to a lot of debate. There was one newspaper reporter from the Cincinnati Commercial newspaper who said he was over this section of track a few days before the wreck and returned to the scene shortly after the wreck to try to put together some sort of investigation and look at what might have caused the wreck. He has this whole account about claiming there's some sort of systematic attempt to conceal the real facts in the case, as he wrote, and set afloat fictions in their place. As he indicated, the facts seem to show some sort of culpability on the part of the directors of the road. Many reporters, including this reporter from the Cincinnati Commercial, seem to indicate that there was something nefarious at play with the bridge's timbers. Apparently, they were either made of poplar wood, not oak tree or red pine, that the railroad claimed that they were. There was a rumor that was spread that the bridge was, in fact, not rebuilt after the Civil War. And there was also a rumor that vandals had apparently sawed or somehow tried to cause this wreck by vandalizing a portion of the bridge. Now, the railroad did do what it considered to be a careful and full investigation, and perhaps it's not unsurprising, or perhaps it's not surprising, that the railroad exonerated itself of all blame. They did an investigation, and they found themselves not guilty or innocent, depending on how you want to look at it. A state committee did look into this derailment as part of a wider probe of the railroad, and they actually blamed it on defective rolling stock that belonged to the Louisville and Nashville Railroad. The record as to the precise cause of the wreck is rather hazy. In the immediate aftermath, speculation was rampant. Coverage of the wreck soon dropped from newspapers' pages, but putting together all the facts, it seems like there's a few possibilities that rise to the top of the list. Defective bridge construction caused it to collapse under the weight of the train. Problem with the train's rolling stock, maybe a broken wheel or axle, caused the train to derail and fly off the bridge. If this derailment had happened somewhere else, maybe when it wasn't on a bridge, maybe it wouldn't have been a terrible calamity. Some sort of vandalism, cutting bridge timbers or removal of a rail is a possibility. And there was apparently some recent heavy rains that maybe weakened the bridge's foundation and caused it to collapse when this train went over. The reality is we will probably never know. The state of Tennessee did conduct an investigation into really the Memphis, Clarksville, and Louisville Railroad as a whole, but as part of that inquiry did look into the Buds Creek Railroad disaster. It ultimately laid blame for the wreck to the Louisville and Nashville Railroad. If this wreck had happened today, it probably would have been the subject of congressional hearings. Might have made for some great television, hard to say. In the end, the wreck left 5 people dead and dozens more injured. Among those who were killed were 2 people in the sleeping car at the end of the train, which actually did not derail. Hugh McCall and his wife Susan McCall, who were on vacation, they unfortunately passed away in the wreck. The engineer, Eugene Riley, died apparently because of escaping steam from the boiler. Fireman Charles Shields was another victim of the disaster, and the 5th victim was a man whose identity is not entirely clear. Following the wreck, workers found the badly burned body of a man in the wreckage. One report identifies him as passenger Thomas Shields. Another identifies him as Thomas Baxter. Baxter would seem to be more accurate, but it's hard to say. In addition to the 5 who unfortunately perished in the wreck, 25 passengers and train personnel were injured. The injuries varied. There's a story of Charles Brown, the train's baggage master, who was discovered under fallen timbers. There's another story involving John Duggan. He was the Adams Express Company employee who was working as the express messenger the night of the wreck. It's interesting when you look at how news flowed at that point in time as well. John Duggan is a great case study. He was on the train, and some of the initial accounts listed him as fatally injured. Subsequent accounts said he was badly wounded. Another story even said he is not dead, and actually went as far as saying he is doing well. He did survive the wreck, and his condition would probably not be described as well by anybody. The Associated Press apparently said later that his case is doubtful. But news, surprisingly, traveled quickly, and it wasn't an era known for its fact-checking capabilities. He almost died, John Duggan, and a local German man named Wenzler noticed that Duggan could actually be saved. And he eventually moved Duggan from the train station in Clarksville, where he was apparently left to fend for himself, to his residence. 6 to 8 doctors worked and eventually saved the train man. Apparently, Duggan was so grateful for the German man's action that he named one of his sons in his honor. His son, Frank Wenzler Duggan, later worked as a lumber inspector in both Louisville and Memphis. So I actually wrote a song about this disaster called Down in the Creek that I wanted to play for you here today. With a Louisville train, it runs on time all the way down the Memphis line, through the rolling field in the southern pine. Pulls out of town in the afternoon, and it runs all night by the light of the moon. But tonight, this train is doomed. Picks up people from near and far, they're scattered and sleeping in the passenger cars. That's where steam on the southern star. Well, the train I'm riding is moving too fast. In a moment of fire, it went down in a flash. Now I'm standing deep down in the creek. Well, everything was fine as we steamed along. In a moment of panic, well, it all went wrong. Now I'm standing deep down in the creek.
For railfanning.org, I'm Todd DeFeo. Be sure to visit railfanning.org for more news, features, and photos from the rails.